The following is a podcast of Thrive, a high school ministry at Victory Family Church. For more details, see thriveatvictory.com.
Why isn't anybody dressed in their costumes tonight? I thought we were supposed to wear our costumes tonight. I am wearing Benny Rodriguez, Sandlot, the PF Flyers. I am ready to go. Where's your guys' costume at tonight? Come on. It's Halloween. Where's your guys' costume at? But right now, guys, I just want to take a quick second, and I want you guys to get up and introduce yourself to two new people and say, man, you look good in that costume tonight. And also grab a snack before we get started. So go ahead. I'll give you 1 minute to get up and meet two new. All right, is everybody good? We all good on the snacks? We got snacks over here. I don't know if we have any drinks. We have some drinks here. My man got some drinks. Anybody need a water? Anybody need a water? I got a water right here. Anybody? There we go. What's up, dude? What's up? So how's everybody doing tonight? You guys doing well? Come on, guys. You got to give me a better reaction than that. How's everybody doing tonight? I know a ton of people aren't here because they're out trick-or-treating, but I want to let you guys know that you guys are the holy rollers. You guys chose to be here tonight, and man, thank you guys for coming and being a part of Thrive. Unless your parents made you come. I don't know which one. Maybe you guys got dragged here. But here at Thrive, we really want to make sure that you guys know that this is a safe place. That Thrive is a safe place, and the culture that we are creating here is a family environment where you belong. And there's some of you tonight, when you hear the word family, nothing registers with your mind. But there's some people tonight, when you hear the word family, you think of all the good memories that you shared with your family and all the good times that you guys had and the vacations that you went on. But there's some of you tonight, when you hear the word family, you begin to cringe inside and you become angry. And some of you might even become depressed because you look at the word family and you look at your home life and you're saying, Zach, how can you tell me that we are family? Do you know what I'm going through? You know the struggles that I'm going through at home? You know what my mom and dad say to me? How can you call this a family? And I want to let you know that this is a safe place where you guys belong, where you guys can come as you are, and we could do life together with you. No matter where you guys are at, you guys belong here, and that you guys are family here, that we want to make sure that you're safe, that you belong, and that we empower you to do great and mighty things, because you guys are not called to be leaders. You guys are not called to be leaders, but you guys are called, you guys are not called to be followers, but you guys are called to be believers. Are you guys doing okay tonight? You guys seem kind of dead. We good? I see my man in the back. But tonight we're going to be talking about life or death. And my message is choose life, stand out. When you choose life, you will stand out. And I have an amigram here. Anybody know what this says? Life. What's this say? Is that pretty cool? Which one do you guys like better? This one? Life? Death. Which one looks better? Which one looks better? No reaction. This one? All right, sweet. So tonight we're going to be talking about life or death. And before I get started, I want to tell you a story that happened at the age of 13 when I went out trick-or-treating. So I was 13 years old. And I was going trick-or-treating, but 2 weeks before that, I actually got grounded because I got arrested, okay? I got arrested because my friends, we went out and we were shooting BB guns in the woods. And where I grow up, you're not allowed to do that. So the cops literally took me home, and my mom found out, and I got arrested. My mom found out, and I was grounded for like 2 weeks. And Halloween was right around the corner, and I was like, Mom, can I please go trick-or-treating with my friends? And being so a gracious woman that she was, she let me go trick-or-treating with my friends. But what she didn't know is that we were going to go toilet papering afterwards. How many of you guys ever toilet papered before after trick-or-treating? Where you just literally take a big wound of paper and throw it on people's roofs and they come down and you just toilet paper the whole house so it's just all white. So I was planning on going toilet papering that night. And my sister and her friends were planning on doing the same thing as well. And before we left, my mom and my dad said, listen, if either of you get in trouble, you guys are dead meat. And I'm like, man, I'm fast. I'm going with Jimmy. He's 250 pounds and he can't run. If anything, I'll knock him to the ground and keep running. So I'm like, I know I will not get caught. I know I will not get caught. And my sister, she's been doing that for years with her friends, and she never got caught. And we go get candy. Man, I got a ton of candy. And then we went toilet papering. I mean, I had a blast with my friends. We went toilet papering. I'm on my way home, and I'm hanging out on my porch. And I'm like, man, it's like 10:30, 11 o'clock. Where is my sister at? Like, my sister should be here by now. And so I go inside, and literally 2 minutes later, I hear a knock on the door. And I could only imagine. I'm like, Lord, please let my sister get in trouble. So it takes the vision off me, so I don't have to pay the penalty that I did for getting arrested 2 weeks ago. So my sister comes home, and she said, Mom, Dad, I need to talk to you. There's somebody at the door with me. And my mom and dad come up. And what do you know it? There's a cop with my sister. My sister got caught. And the funny thing was, when they were toilet papering, the girl came out. And she's like, stop, stop. Don't you go anywhere. I'm calling the cops on you. My sister was the only one that stopped. And the girl got a hold of her. And my sister got arrested and brought home in a cop car. And I guess the moral of this story, guys, is that we have choices to make. We could choose between life or death, good and evil. And I want to take a look at what Jesus says, or God says in his word, about choosing life or death. And it says in Deuteronomy 30:19, this day I call heaven and earth as witnesses against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life so that you and your children may live. You see, in this scripture, Jesus was talking to the Israelites. In this scripture, when we read this, a lot of the times we say, man, how does this apply to my life? When I read the Bible, I see that God's talking to the Gentiles and the Jews. I see that he's talking to Timothy. How does this apply to my life? And I want to challenge you guys, and I want to encourage you guys, when you read the Word of God, always personalize the scripture. So that's exactly what we're going to do. And we're going to take a look at Deuteronomy 30:19 again. Let's personalize the scripture this time. This day he calls the heavens and the earth as witnesses against us. He is God, and he's calling heaven and earth against us, that he has set before us life and death, blessing and cursing. And I know there's some of you tonight that you have a hard time choosing. I mean, you just have a hard time choosing anything. And for guys, it's when we're going out to eat with our buddies. It's like, dude, where can we go to eat? Especially in here in Cranberry, we can go to Buffalo Wild Wings. We can go to Permane Brothers. We can go to Chick-fil-A. We can go to Chipotle. We have all these places to choose. And girls, I'm not letting you off that easy. I was just talking to my girlfriend today, and she's like, Zach, you wouldn't believe how long it took me to pick out my outfit today. I mean, the choices that I had was unbelievable. Girls, I know when it comes to choosing what you guys wore tonight, guarantee you it took you about 45 minutes to choose that. But what we see in Scripture is God saying, listen, I'm giving you a 50-50% chance of getting this right. I'm giving you a true and false test to get this right. It's like flipping a coin and saying, what do you choose, heads or tails? But I love what God says next about his word, because he knew that there's some of us tonight that just has a hard time choosing between right or wrong. We just have a hard time choosing in general. And he says this, therefore choose life. Everybody say choose life. Choose life so that you and your descendants may live. See, I wish it was just that easy. I wish it was just easy, that easy, where God literally put true, life and death. I wish I could just pick truth every time. Why? And I begin to wonder, why did Adam and Eve, why did they have to sin in the Garden of Eden? Why did they have to make it so stinking hard for me to choose between life and death? And there's a lot of things that we have to choose from in our day-to-day lives that isn't just so white and black. And I grew up in a Christian home, guys. I grew up in a Christian home. And when I say that, I mean my life was not perfect. My life was not perfect. I made mistakes. My mom and dad made mistakes. We chose the wrong things time and time again. But it was my junior year in high school where things began to crumble for me. You see, I looked up to this person in my life who said, who was a man of God, and he said he would never hurt me and he would never lead me. And some things began to happen in my life with my relationship with that man, where he began to verbally abuse me and my sister and my mom. And he began to say things emotionally that was not right. And at that time, the best decision that I could have made was to move out. And at age 16, I literally moved out of my house and I was living with some friends. And then after a couple weeks, I went to live with my uncle and my aunt. But I looked at my dad, and I said, man, if this is a man of God, then I don't want to have anything to do with you, God. If this is what you call a man of God, and that's what I'm going to grow up to be, I don't want to have anything to do with you. I don't want to have anything to do with you. And we have to understand that the enemy, he is a father of lies. He is a deceiver. And he deceived me in believing that God allowed that to happen, that was the character of God, that my dad hurting me was just who God was. So I began to run the other way. I began to party at age 17. I began to drink. I began to mess around with different girls that I know that was wrong. You see, we have to understand that we need accountability in our life, that we need people. They're going to keep us accountable for the decisions that we make. You guys need each other to go through life together, because this culture is tearing you down. I'm telling you, it is tearing you down. And I can tell you this, that sin, man, it is fun. Sin is fun. Can you believe that I'm saying sin is fun? But sin is fun for a season. Sin brings instant gratification, but it never brings abiding pleasure. So you might be living in sin right now, and you choose to live in sin. You might be living in sin right now, where you're in your bedroom before you go to bed, and your doors are locked, and your parents aren't around, and you go on your phone, and you start going through Facebook or Instagram and Snapchat, and you're like, you know, no one will ever know what I'm doing behind closed doors. You know, this is my secret life. This is my secret life. And there's some of you guys tonight, and I want to let you know that we serve a God that is a redeemer, that he already paid for your sin, and that he loves you. But there's some of you guys tonight that are dealing with pornography. It's just, it's evident. It's true. There's some of you guys tonight that are dealing with pornography. And I'm not just talking about the guys here. I'm talking about the girls as well. There's some of you guys that are dealing with pornography, and you're saying, man, Zach, when I first got into this, I didn't think it was going to be this bad. I thought I was just going to do it once or twice, but I'm stuck, and I can't get out. I want to let you know that we serve a God that loves you, and he wants to see you through. He wants to see you through this mess that you're in. But we go into those situations, we go into those things, thinking that they're fun, because the devil tells us that lie, that sin is fun. Have fun. Live freedom. Live in this culture. This culture will set you up for success. But that is such a lie. I'm telling you guys, that's such a lie. And I want to take a look at someone that was around your age who dealt with some of the same issues that you guys are going through. And I want to let you guys know that when you choose life, you decide to stand out. And I would rather be remembered for standing out than be forgotten for blending in. See, when we choose life, when we stand out in the right ways, for the right, for at the right time, for the right reasons, it will set you up for success. It will set you up to a course that you could never think that you could get. But the opposite is true as well. When you compromise and make the wrong decisions at the wrong times for the wrong reasons, it can set you so far behind that you can't even believe. And I want to take a look at Daniel. Daniel was a young boy between the age of 13 and 15, where he had some decisions that he had to make. And I love what Daniel did. And we're gonna get there, but I just want to give the backstory of what Daniel's talking about. So Daniel is writing in Daniel 1, and he's talking about how he was taken out of his land, taken exile, how he remained undefiled, and then how he was preserved and promoted in the king's palace. See, King Nebuchadnezzar went into Jerusalem and destroyed the city. He absolutely destroyed the city. And not only did he do that, he went into their temple, and he destroyed their temple as well. And to add insult to injury, he took their religious symbols, and he broke them, and he crushed them. And he was basically saying, listen, that your Yahweh God, the God that you serve, is irrelevant, that he's outdated. And then what next is he took the sharpest young men in the city, and he recruited them. He kidnapped them back to Babylon. And not only did King Nebuchadnezzar want to kill and destroy their present, he wanted to kill and destroy their future as well. And when I think about Satan and our enemy, that's exactly what he wants to do in our lives today. He not only wants to kill, steal, and destroy your present. He wants to kill, steal, and destroy your future as well. And as we read in Deuteronomy 30:19, it says, choose life so that you and your descendants may live. See, like I said, I grew up in a Christian home, and my parents literally made me go to church. I hated to go to church. I thought it was irrelevant. I thought, this stuff is not applicable to my life. And my uncle, he never made his children go to church. And the things that they had to deal with growing up, with heroin addiction, with having abortions, they were a mess. Guys, I'm telling you, Satan wants nothing more to kill and to destroy your life. And I want to take a look at what Daniel did and the choices that he made. So if you guys want to look up here, if you guys got your Bibles, you go to Daniel 1, 3, verse 10, 3, 1 Daniel 3 through 10. It said that the king ordered Ashpenaz. His friends called him Ash. At least I hope they did, because I can only imagine being in the fifth grade and my friends calling me Ashpenaz. The nicknames and the people that they, it would have been a mess. But his friends called him Ash, and he was a chief, and he was the king. He was a chief of his king's court officials to bring into the king's service some of the Israelites from the royal families and the nobilities, young men without any physical defect, handsome, showing aptitude for every kind of learning, well-informed, quick to understand, and qualified to serve in the king's palace. If you look around in your class, that's probably like the person that is most likely to succeed. That was not me. Let me tell you that. I was the least likely to succeed in my class. So he's talking about the people that are the most likely to succeed. And what King Nebuchadnezzar did, he was very strategic about his plan. And he was to teach them the language and literature of the Babylonians. And King Nebuchadnezzar thought, and he knew, if I can get them to think the way I think and to believe what I believe, then we can change who they are. We can change their identity and what they grew up in. And then we go to verse 5. The king assigned them a daily amount of food and wine from the king's table. They were to be trained for 3 years. He was very strategic about his plan. And after they were to enter the king's service, among those were chosen some from the some from Judah, Daniel, Hilkiah, Malachi, I think his name is, Messiah, and Azariah. Is that how you say it, guys? Sure? Okay, that sounds good. The chief official gave them new names. And we'll see the king did two things to these young boys. The number one thing was he gave them new names. To Daniel, he gave him the name Belshazzar. To Hananiah, he gave to Shadrach. To Meshach and to Messiah, he gave Meshach. And to Azariah, he gave Abednego. In verse 8, it says, but Daniel resolved, and this is the most important part of my message tonight, guys, that I want you to get, that Daniel resolved, or he chose, or he predetermined not to defile himself with the royal food and wine. And he asked the chief officials for permission not to defile himself this way. See, the king did two things. He wanted to change their name, and he wanted to change their diet. I can't even imagine being stripped from my homeland, being stripped from my parents, and being taken into a culture that I have no idea what it is. And King Nebuchadnezzar was very smart about the decisions that he made, because he knew if I could change their names, then I could change their identity. And if I could change the way they eat, then I could change everything about them. But Daniel resolved in his heart. He chose, he predetermined in his heart that he was not going to defile himself. You see, Daniel said, you could change my name, but when you go and you try to change my diet, the things that God has told me to do. You see, when they were eating the new wine and the food, that food was offered up to pagan gods. And that would defile the thing that God has promised and declared and made a law to Daniel. So he predetermined in his heart that he wasn't going to give in to that. And tonight, guys, what do you need to predetermine or resolve in your heart tonight that you're not going to do? Because I guarantee you this, you're going to come in a crossroad in your life where you're going to come to an age where people are going to want to take you and go party with you. Are you going to predetermine in your heart that that's something that you will not do? Or maybe when you get a boyfriend or a girlfriend, are you going to predetermine to stay abstinence, that you're not going to have sex until marriage? Will you guys do that? Will you predetermine in your heart that you will do that? Because when you're in the back of a car with that guy or that girl, I'm telling you, it's a little bit too late to say, no, I'm not going to do that. Listen, from experience, I've lived that life. I've lived that life, and it's not fun. It is not fun. And it brings destruction and shame and guilt in your life. The exact opposite of what God wants for you. And I'm going to finish with this, guys. Last week, I was at a baseball game. I played for Penn State. Yeah, that's pretty impressive. Actually, it was Penn State Beavers, so it was like scrawny ball. But I was playing at Penn State. And in those days, I was living in the world, and I had nothing. I didn't want to do anything with God. I had nothing to do with God. I didn't want anything to do with God. And I was living that lifestyle. I was drinking. I was partying every weekend. And I was so lost. I was so broken. And I came to a point in my life where I said, God, I cannot live this life anymore. I do not want to live the way I'm living. So I separated myself from that crowd and said, God, I predetermined in my heart now that I'm not going to live the life that I lived. I'm not going to drink. I'm not going to mess around. God, I choose to live for you. I choose to serve you. And I went back to, it was 2 years since I graduated there. I went back last week and I saw all my buddies there. And I saw they were living the same lifestyle. They were drinking every weekend. They were partying every weekend. They were living, trying to find fulfillment in that stuff. And my heart began to break as I saw the choices that they make were only leading them to destruction. They were only leading them down a road that would not bring hope and fulfillment. And I want to let you guys know that we should rather be remembered for standing out than be forgotten for blending in, because the truth is, when you graduate college and when you graduate high school, the friends that you're hanging out with right now, chances are you will never see them again. Chances are you will never talk to them again. So why don't you guys predetermine in your heart that you guys are going to serve God, that you guys are going to make Saturday nights a commitment, that you guys are going to go to church each week, that you guys are going to get plugged into a small group and do life together. With every head bowed and eyes closed, I'm just going to pray for us. Father God, I just thank you for this time that we get to spend here tonight at Thrive. Lord, I thank you for the people that you have brought in this room tonight. Lord, I thank you that you have called them to be world changers. Lord, that you did not call them to be followers, but you called them to be leaders, Lord. And today, we predetermine in our heart to live for you no matter what. With every head bowed and eyes closed, I just want to take a second. And I want to see if there's anybody here tonight that says, I want to make Jesus the Lord of my life. You see, I chose death so many times before. I've been living in this world, and I'm seeing that it's not bringing fulfillment. It's not bringing joy. And I'm feeling so empty. I'm feeling so lost, and I'm feeling so broken. And I'm going to give you the opportunity to make Jesus the Lord of your life. One, I'm telling you, this is the best decision that you will ever make. This is the best decision you ever make. In the count of three, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand. Two, come and do life. Taste and see that the Lord is good. He wants to bring success. He wants to bring life to you. Three, is there anybody here tonight that says, I want to make Jesus the Lord of my life? I never committed. I want to make sure that when I die, that I go to heaven and I'm with my Heavenly Father. Is there anybody here tonight that says, I want to make Jesus the Lord of my life? Is there anybody here? Anybody? Awesome, awesome. Okay, guys, you can look up at me. Everybody here, I believe, is saved. That's awesome, man. I'm so glad that I got a chance to speak to you guys tonight. I know that Halloween is here, and you guys probably want to get home and enjoy your day. But thank you guys for being so faithful and coming.